How's everyone doing today? Isn't it a beautiful day? So just want to say good morning to the online people as well. Just say good morning to your neighbor, your fellow neighbor online there as well. Just hit the chat box and say good morning. Just welcome each other. So good morning, everyone here. Let's just open with prayer here before we get into the word. Lord, I just thank you, God. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness and your mercies, Lord. I pray that this message would not be of myself, but would be of you, Lord God. And I pray that it would bear much fruit in the hearts and the minds of the people here, Lord, that they're able to go and put this into practice throughout the coming weeks, months, and years and decades. Lord, I pray that this word would be brought back to their remembrance over and over again so they can keep applying it over and over, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Good morning, everyone. So I guess I didn't say that, but yeah, Jake introduced me. My name is Ben, and I get the privilege of sharing a message with you today. So I want to ask you, have you been to Hawaii? Have you ever been to Hawaii? To the beach? Yeah, there's a few people, right? If you can pull up that picture there. Imagine yourself on this beautiful beach with white sand, crystal clear water. Wow. You know, I read a story about a true story from this author years ago. And I just want to set the scene for you. And I'll kind of tell it in a way that you can interact with it. So he was in Hawaii. And so imagine yourself on this beach here. And you decide that, oh, I'm going to grab a boogie board and some snorkels. I'm going to start going snorkeling and looking at what's under the ocean there. So as you go, it's a gorgeous day, and you're starting to go through, and you're just mesmerized by what's all happening under the ocean there. You see coral, you see fish, you're just floating along, looking at everything that's happening under there, and then all of a sudden, a school of fish go right by you. And then as you're going along, you get closer and closer to a stingray, and then it darts, and it gets out of your way because you just scared it, right? So you're mesmerized by what's happening under the ocean here, just snorkeling with your boogie board. And then, after a while, you look up, and then all of a sudden, this is what you see. Ooh, right? So the current, what's called a riptide, has pulled you away from shore, away from safety, from this beautiful beach that you are at, and now you're in a dangerous situation. Now you see this island and just vast amounts of ocean all around you, and you have to swim for your life to get back to shore, right? It's a dangerous thing. And you know, I think that is so apt that that's what happened to this author, that happens to us in life, where we get pulled away by the tides and the currents of life from our shore, from our destination, from who God wants us to be in this life, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, we look up and we're not anywhere near where we want to be, not anywhere near who God wants us to be, and we're not anywhere near to safety. We're actually in a dangerous place in our life, right? And so I just want to give you that picture of what it is, what the currents of life can do to us here. So the title of that book that I was reading is actually called Living Forward. And I thought it's so apt that I actually named the title of my message Living Forward as well. So Living Forward is all about choosing the kind of life that you want to live, choosing what kind of person you want to be, deciding in advance what you will do when a situation arises. You know, I read a story once about a man. He's walking down a path beside a river, and it's a spring runoff, and the water is flowing really fast in this river. All of a sudden, he hears a young girl screaming for help. She had fallen in the river, and she's drowning. This man doesn't hesitate. He jumps in, he swims to her, rescues her, and brings her back to shore. So someone interviews this man and asks him, you know, weren't you scared? Like, why would you do this? And the man said, I did not hesitate because I had already pre-decided before, if there was ever a situation like this that would occur, what I would do. And I would go and rescue the person. So he had pre-decided and he didn't have to think about it. He made that decision in an instant that I will do the right thing, right? So this is the power of pre-decision. You see, when we decide in advance that the decisions that we make in life, when a situation arises, it takes the difficulty out of what we need to do, right? It takes the difficulty out of making that decision because we've already pre-decided about it. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. This morning, we are going to ponder the paths of our feet and we will establish our ways. You see, the substance of our life is not made up of one decision. It's not made up of a few decisions. It's made up of tens of thousands of decisions that we make. You know, we make dozens, if not hundreds, of little decisions every single day, right? If we pre-decide what decisions we're going to make, we're going to make our life a whole lot easier. I did a Bible study on the YouVersion Bible app called Think Ahead. And in this study, the author, Pastor Craig Rochelle, talks about the power of pre-decision. Deciding before the decisions that has to be made. So today I want to talk to you about 7 decisions from this study that I went through that we need to make so that we do not drift in life and get pulled away by the currents and tides of life into a life that we do not want, into decisions that we do not want. So our first pre-decision is, 1, I will be ready. This decision is about figuring out what are the things that I am prone to getting tempted by. And then you figure out what you can do to minimize that temptation in your life. See, in the study, Pastor Craig Rochelle, he talks about when he first became a Christian, shortly after, he started dating his now wife, Amy. And before he had become a Christian, he had no physical boundaries when he was dating someone. So as a new Christian, he went to another more mature Christian and asked them, what are the limitations and the boundaries of what I can do and not sin? See, he admits and says in there that he wanted to get as close to that boundary line of what he could do without sinning, right? And I think that's so apt for us. How often do we not dabble with temptation, dabble with on the brink of walking into that sin, on the brink of that, right? You know, sooner or later, if we are always dabbling on the borderline of sinning, we're going to fall headlong into there, right? And it's not going to be a good situation. Ephesians 4:27 says, nor give place to the devil, right? When we dabble on the edge of temptation, the edge of sin, then we're starting to pretty close to give place to the devil, right? Proverbs 27:12, this is what it says about that. It says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. See, if we want to be prudent, we're going to look ahead. We're going to see, oh, there's danger if I do this. There's danger if I keep walking along this path, right? The prudent man avoids that, right? Stops going down that path, limits the temptations, limits those things, and does not get punished. So as the people of God, we need to look at ourselves and see, where am I easily tempted to sin? And then make the decision not to engage in the behavior that leads to temptation. But, you know, I want to just be clear about temptation, right? Temptation in and of itself, that is not sin, right? When we act on that temptation, now that is sin. So, example, if you have previously had issues with alcoholism, you know, it's probably not a good idea to go and eat dinner at a bar, right? They serve food there, but, you know, it might be a little bit too tempting there. If you're tempted to steal, you know, ask yourself, how can I limit this so that I am not tempted, right? Maybe I need a accountability partner in times where I could be tempted, right? Or, you know, if you're a gambler, you don't go into a casino and start, you know, eating there, whatever it is, right, where you can get tempted. So Craig Rochelle says this: why resist a temptation tomorrow if I have the power to eliminate it today? Wow, right? So ask yourself, what are the temptations that I'm facing? And how can I remove those so I don't have those anymore? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our enemy roams about seeking whom he may devour, right? So we need to constantly be on our guard. We need to be aware. We need to be prudent and wise, as the word teaches us, to look ahead and see and take ourselves away from these temptations that might come our way, right? And the second decision is, I will be devoted. See, Jesus was devoted, and we can see that in his daily life. In Mark 1:35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. See, Jesus took time to get away from the crowds and people to spend solitary time with God. Jesus, how much more so do we not need to do that, right? The thing about it is, no one accidentally becomes closer to God. No one accidentally one day says, oh, I've never been closer to God before, right? That doesn't happen. No one accidentally wins games. No one accidentally wins a Super Bowl, right? No one accidentally wins the soccer world tournament, right? Which is on right now, or I don't know about right now, but I've been hearing about it. I don't really watch soccer. No offense, guys. Whoever's... no offense. So this is why we need to predetermine that we will be devoted to God no matter the circumstances, because he is worthy of our time for all that he has done for us. And Pastor Craig outlines, this means that we need to have a plan, need to have a time and a place of when we will be devoted to him, right? The plan is, oh, I'm going to come and seek God every single day, right? And I'm going to go do it in my study at X amount of time, right? I'm going to do it early in the morning. Or if you're not an early riser, I'm going to do it in the evening, right? But that's the plan, time, and place that we need to have to be devoted, right? We need to pre-decide, I will be devoted. I will seek God every single day. King David wrote about this in Psalms 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. See, King David had a plan. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Wow. What devotion and hunger King David had for God, right? David sought God early in the morning. And in another psalm, it even says late at night. In the middle of the night, he's seeking God as well. And, you know, because of that, we remember King David, right? Because he was a man after God's heart, the word says. And part of this living forward message is deciding now in advance how we want to be remembered. You know, so if there was one word that I could say to you that you would like to be remembered by, what would it be? Would it be successful, wise, kind, generous, merciful? What would it be? How about faithful? You know, our third decision is, I will be faithful. Why is this a better word than the rest of those other words I just said. Because those, that word is one of the sweetest words that we can ever hear God proclaim over us. In Matthew 25, 21, it says, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So those are some of the most profound and sweetest words we can ever hear God say about us, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. So we need to predetermine that we will be faithful to him and what he has called to us to in this life. So what is it that God has called us to in this life? As his children, he has called us to be the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." See, I know for myself, I have not always understood the significance and importance of what Jesus is actually saying here. See, back in those times, salt was very, very important. They didn't have fridges and freezers to freeze their food back in those days. You know what they did? They would actually grab salt and they would rub it into the meat, rub it into the fish, and this would help preserve the food for days and even weeks, right? So this was a very vital commodity back in those days. And it was actually the second most precious commodity of that time. Can you guess what the first one was? The sun, right? Because the sun, they need to see daylight, right? They need it for growing things. So salt was used to preserve food, purify and clean wounds, using grain offerings to God. Leviticus 2:13, help to flavor food, was used in small amounts in fertilizer. So when Jesus is saying that we are the salt of the earth, what is he actually saying? See, for those people at that time, they knew exactly what he was saying. He is saying that we, as the body of Christ, we are invaluable, right? We are to bring flavor. We are to preserve life and purify wherever we go as believers. Jesus goes on to say in the following verses, Matthew 5, 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What we have inside of us should not be hidden. We are invaluable because we are the light of the world. The world needs what we have, right? The thing about it is the world doesn't recognize that, right? But we are to be light and salt wherever we go. Right? Wherever we go, we bring flavor to the situation. We bring personality to the situation. So let's pre-decide today that we will be faithful to share the love of Jesus to those around us, to tell the people who don't know Jesus that he died and rose again to save them from sin and from death, that God loves them and cares for them more than they can possibly imagine. And how can we say that? Because we know it, we experience it, because the light of God is shining through us to them. This leads me to our fourth decision. I will be an influencer. There's another thing that we haven't mentioned that salt does. Has anybody guessed it? Has anybody guessed what else salt does? Makes you thirsty, right? So as Christians, we should be making people thirsty for God. We should make them thirst and hunger for the living God. See, we're not perfect in everything that we do, you know, but we have Jesus with us. He is our guide. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. So when we're going out, we're telling people, when we're influencing people for Jesus, it's not that we have to do that alone. He's with us every step of the way. He will give us the words to speak. And you know what? It's as simple as telling our testimony. This is what God did in my life. He's been so faithful to me. Look at all the things that he's done for me. And I wish that he could do that for you as well. So pre-decide today that you will be an influencer for Jesus. You know, I would say that every one of us is an influencer, whether we like to be or not. You have influence, whether for positive or negative, right? So let's pre-decide today to be a positive influence for Jesus. Colossians 4, 2 through 6 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, so we should be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for this hope that we have in Christ, another scripture says. And God will give us the wisdom and grace to speak to people in our life, to be generous in our speech that is seasoned with salt. And being generous leads me to our fifth decision, that we need to pre-decide, I will be generous. If we listen and we go with the currents of life and what the world tells us, it says when we give, when we are generous, we have less, right? But what does Jesus say? Acts 20, 35 tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Wow. You know, Pastor Craig makes the distinction in the study that there's a difference between giving and being generous. See, giving is random. Giving is spontaneous. Giving is seeing a need and then I'll fulfill it, right? Generosity is different than that. Craig Rochelle says, to be clear, giving is good. Giving honors God. Giving meets needs. Giving blesses people. Yes, we want to give. But giving is not the same as generosity. See, generous people don't just give spontaneously or reactively. Generous people have a plan. Generous people plan to be a giver. They plan to be generous. So they're not forced to. They're not pressured to. They already have a plan to be generous. And Isaiah 32 verse 8 says, but generous people plan to do what is generous. And guess what? Then they stand firm in their generosity, right? So as generous people, we have a plan. And then we follow through with that plan to be generous. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. See, having a plan to be generous sounds a whole lot like tithing, right? I'm planning that I give God of the first fruits, the first tenth of whatever I have. That's my plan. That's a good plan, right? That's a good start. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Purposes is having a plan. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Wow. So as we are generous people, God is going to make sure that we are always going to have an abundance to be able to give to every good work. What a promise, right? Wow, praise God. You know, when we plan to be generous and are generous, that blesses God. Generosity, giving, is worship to God. It is saying to God, God, I love you. I glorify you. And there's a scripture that actually says it is a sweet aroma that goes up to God. You know, a plan is only as good as the follow through, though. And this is where decision number 6 comes in. I will be consistent. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution and just a few weeks later, you're done with that New Year's resolution, right? I've been there, right? So if you've been inconsistent in what you say that you will do and actually do, you know, we've all been there. I've been there. And, you know, I find myself often being inconsistent, but this is not of God. And we need to choose and pre-decide, you know what, when I set out to do something, I will be consistent, right? And God, Jesus, empowers us to do that. Maybe like me, you've decided, oh, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, right? And then you're a couple months down the road and you find yourself falling further and further behind on reading your chapters every single day, and then you just quit, right? I've done that. But you know, God, he has grace for us. Romans 7, 18 through 19. The Apostle Paul, he can actually sympathize with us, right? And he says in here, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Well, the Apostle Paul, he can relate to us in how we feel. You know, Jesus, he can also relate to us in how we feel. He was tempted, it says, so he can sympathize with us, but he never fell to that sin. He never gave in to it, right? So if you feel condemned or like a loser for being inconsistent, I'd say to you, forgive yourself, all right, of that, right? Condemnation, feeling like a loser, that's not of God, right? Jesus says, you are his son. You are his daughter. Jesus says, you are a victor in Christ. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus understands our situation. He understands what we're going through. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So often, you know, we feel bad, you know, we feel convicted, but we just sit there and we wallow in it. Instead of that, forgive yourself, repent of it, and then it says here, you can come boldly before the throne of grace, and God will give us strength and grace in time of need. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So I'd say to you, if you feel like you're stuck, that's not true. That's a lie. Instead of believing that, this boldly says to come, right? Boldly come before him and ask for strength and help. You know, however, Pastor Craig Groeschel, he has a practical way about this, about being consistent. I think it's good. You know, so often, I know for myself, I'll set a goal. And, okay, I got to hit these things to be able to achieve this goal. And the goal can feel so daunting, right, when we're constantly looking at the goal. And what he says is instead of focusing on the goal, we need to start focusing on the process. We need to start to love the process. The process of getting out of debt, right? Oh, it's going to take me 2 years to get out of debt. You know, that can feel like such a daunting task. But instead of focusing just on that, okay, today I was able to save this much. Today I was able to pay off this. That's success. I hit my goal today, right? And you get all these small wins where you fall in love with the process, whether it's paying off debt, losing weight, reading the Bible, right? All of a sudden, we start to fall in love with the process. Because success is not hitting the goal. Success is moving towards the goal, day by day, right? So this being consistent goes hand in hand with our seventh and our final decision that we need to make. I will be a finisher. Right? Choosing to be a finisher is easier said than done, isn't it? Like, we all think we can finish, and then we actually get into it, and it's so much more difficult and hard than we think. Whatever it is, right? Trying to hit that goal, right? Or trying to get to the finish line of life in this race of faith that we are in. See, every one of us has our own battles that we're fighting, and, you know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the struggles that you have, but guess what? There is someone who does know. There is someone who can sympathize with every one of your struggles, your fears, your hurts, your worries. And you know what he says? He says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we should cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God, he cares for you. Every single person here. So God cares for whatever struggle, hurt, fear, financial stress, sickness, or disease that we may be going through. He cares about it. And in fact, if there is something that you need prayer for today, I encourage you after the service, get up, go to the prayer signs, and someone there will stand with you and pray with you and speak the word of God over you. And we're going to see miraculous things happen, right? We're going to see God moving in your life. In fact, God, he cares so much about us that just as Pastor Doug was saying last week, God didn't leave us as orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. John 14, verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever." Wow. See, the Holy Spirit is all of these things to us. He can help us. Sometimes we try to think to ourselves, oh, you know, God just can't help me in this one. You know, we won't say that out loud, but that's what we're thinking, right? That's not true. That's a lie of the devil, right? He is all these things. And it says in the word, when we seek God, he will reveal himself to us. When we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. So often when we are in a situation where we need help, what's actually happening is we're not actually drawing near and seeking God. We're trying to do it of our own strength instead of going to our secret place, going to a place where we can talk to God, pray with God, and ask him to help us, right? Ask the Holy Spirit to be this, to be the comforter, to be our helper, to be our strengthener, our standby. So I encourage you, you know, if you have not heard Pastor Doug's message from last week about the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to listen to that again if you have not heard it already, if you have heard it. But if you've not heard, listen to that to get more knowledge about the role of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our life and who he is. So are you ready? Let's pre-decide now. Can everyone, I mean, you don't have to say this, but let's say these things together, these seven decisions. I will be ready. I will be devoted. I will be faithful. I will be an influencer. I will be generous. I will be consistent. I will be a finisher. Awesome. Praise God. You know, it says in the word that Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? And we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive that strength and grace that we need. So all these things that we just chose to do, God is already these things. See, God is ready. Jesus was ready and willing to do whatever it took to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and death. God is devoted. Jesus withdrew and spent time with God. Right? God is faithful. Jesus was and is faithful even to the point of death. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny who he is. God is an influencer. And I think it's safe to say that God is the greatest influencer of all, wouldn't you say? God is generous. God is so generous that he gave his only begotten son for us, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. God is consistent. It says in the word, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a finisher. Jesus went to the cross, a cross very much similar to that one. He was humiliated. He was stripped naked, whipped, mocked, beaten, spit upon. He bore all of that, and then he went to the cross. He was crucified with stakes going through his palms. And then the man that was sinless before God became sin so that you and I could now become the righteousness of God. Wow. And after all that, what did Jesus say? He said, it is finished. So Jesus finished it. He bore that sin, that mockery, that torture, pain, humiliation for me and for you. So that you and I, now we can be sons and daughters of God. Now we can walk in victory. We can have eternal life as soon as we declare that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So before we close, I want to leave you with this. This message living forward is choosing today who you will be tomorrow so that the currents of life don't make that choice for you. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. Thank you that you are good. You are faithful, Father. I just pray blessing upon every single person here, Lord. I pray that this word would sink deep down to the hearts, the minds, the spirits of the people here. That this word would come back in remembrance to them over the course of this day, tomorrow, and this week. And that they're able to apply every single one of these 7 decisions that need to be made. And that you have not left them as orphans, but you are within them. So we just thank you, God. Thank you that you empower us, that your Holy Spirit is present with us as soon as we believe on your name, on your Son, Jesus. Just pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So with your heads bowed, eyes still closed, I just want to give an opportunity. If there's someone here who has not made that decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you with what Romans 10:9-13 says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Wow. So if you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior today, I encourage you that that's the best decision you can ever make in your life. It's the best decision I ever made. So repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I believe that you died and rose again on the 3rd day. I accept your free gift of salvation and declare that you are my Lord and Savior. By faith in your name, I am saved. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Amen. Wow.